1 Corinthians chapter 16. We are reading the last few verses of this chapter today. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Anathema. That is, be accursed. Maranatha, our Lord cometh. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. We know that God will bless His precious Word, even though we have but made a brief reading of it this morning. 1 Corinthians is, of course, an epistle that Paul wrote to a troubled church. And in that church, there were many points of rebuke. Some of those points of rebuke were very sharp. And I'm sure on the behalf of the church were not easy to swallow. But this letter that contained those rebukes ends now with a flood of affection. It is so good that the wounds of a friend are faithful. And Paul had to speak the truth, but he spoke that truth in love. There are 8 expressions of Christian love in these closing verses that we have read. Each of the salutes indicates an embracing of the brethren with the heart. It's not just, as you might think in letter writing, a simple salutation or a kind or nice close to a letter. The churches of Asia that give this greeting are the Ephesian church and the others of those 7 churches that are around Asia Minor. Aquila and Priscilla had moved their business more than once. And wherever they went, the church somehow seemed to meet in their house. Because as tent makers, they had to have somewhat spacious accommodations because they needed a large area to spread out the tent material as they worked on it. Aquila and Priscilla were a very special and dedicated Christian couple who helped not only Paul, but Apollos and others in the work of church building. In verse 20, all the brethren greet you or embrace you with the heart. And then the call is to demonstrate your Christian love with that Eastern custom of a holy kiss, even as from us. Now in verse 21, Paul says, I embrace you as I take up the pen from my secretary who has been taking my dictation. Verse 23, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be enjoyed by you all. Verse 24, Paul again declares his love for all the believers in Christ that were in Corinth. Now, one verse in our reading certainly stands forth in a different tone from all the rest, and that is verse 22. All of the affection that has been shared in these surrounding verses finds its consummate object in Christ in verse 22. And Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. There are three thoughts here from this verse 22 that I want to leave with you today. And I trust that God will bless them. First of all, Christ is worthy of everyone's love. Is that not obvious to us all? Christ is worthy of everyone's love. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, not everyone loves Christ. Isn't that obvious? And then thirdly, failure to love Christ brings with it the most hideous kind of curse. So I want you to think with me about Christ's worthiness for the love of everyone. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Christ is worthy of all our love. And Christ is worthy of the love of us all. Christ is God, and no one is as good as He is. He is the original good. He is the origin of all good. He is the infinitely good and eternally good, so that there can be no cessation of His goodness. He is the unchangeable good. He is good beyond human comprehension. Christ is good as God. Christ is good as man. Christ is good as the God-man. As man, He is the perfect man. He is the most excellent above all other men. There is none like Him. Christ's goodness and excellence is far greater than any of the sons of Adam. Christ's excellence and His goodness is far greater even than the unfallen Adam was. Even the apostles and prophets and martyrs and glorified saints are not as good and lovely as Christ is. Christ as the God-man surpasses all the goodness of His saints, and even the goodness of all the unfallen angels. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. He is superior. Superior in His goodness. The loveliness of Christ appears especially in His suitableness to meet the needs of lost sinners. And here is where we find, I think, the touchstone of our experience. It is finding Christ in His suitableness to meet our needs as sinners, and even as lost sinners, that we find such blessing and such beauty, such goodness in Him. You know, a man in pain and sickness may not be craving silver and gold very much in his pain and sickness, but he is certainly desiring ease and health. A man dying of hunger and thirst is not so much desirous of honor or lucrative high offices in some public place as that man is desirous of bread and water. So a man lost in sin, undone, perishing, finds that Christ is just what he needs to save his lost, guilty, helpless, and ruined soul. Now what a joy that revelation is to the heart. Can you remember what it was like when, like the hymn writer, you saw one hanging on the tree in agony and blood, and you found relief in Him. And you found Christ in His wonderful person and in His glorious work to be exactly what met your need, what satisfied your case. And I'm going to tell you, I call that relief. I call that the supreme blessing of knowing the Lord and finding in Him the one to meet every need that we have in our soul for time and for all eternity. Christ is so suitable to meet the needs of sinners. Though we are ignorant, He's the one who lovingly teaches us. Though we are by nature His enemies and God's enemies, He is the one to reconcile us to God. Though I am a bankrupt, indebted, poor sinner, He will enrich me with His grace and make me an heir of eternal riches that cannot fade away, that cannot be taken by thief, cannot fall subject to any of the laws of thermodynamics. Hallelujah. There's no decay in those riches. Do you not hear sweetness and love in Christ's words in Scripture? I just took a little time this morning before the service just to open a package of sweet delights. I don't know if you enjoy opening containers of chocolates. Well, I actually took my Bible. I had just a few minutes this morning before the service, and I opened to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, just to hear the words of Jesus. Can you not hear sweetness and love in Christ's voice as He calls to you? Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, how wonderful. Is it not a precious word that Jesus says, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost? Could anything be sweeter than the voice of a Savior speaking to lost souls? The only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only one that can deliver us? Oh, these words are for you. These words are for me. You know, these words were never designed for the fallen angels, for demons. Remember the demons in Luke chapter 4, verse 34. They said to Jesus, let us alone. Are you come to destroy us before the time? They knew that though Jesus had come to save filthy, rotten, wretched, guilty, fallen human sinners, yet He had not come to save fallen angels. How sweet then is Romans 10:13 to poor lost sinners' ears. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, what a sweet word. This word is given especially for sinners who are still lost and still in this world. Do you know that word is not at all intended for those lost sinners who have entered the world to come? The rich man in hell didn't ask to be saved himself. He knew that it was too late, but he did ask for someone to go to his lost loved ones who were still living and tell them. Sweet gospel promises of saving love are intended for ungodly, unbelieving, corrupt sinners that are still alive in this world without God. These promises are for them. How merciful the Lord has been to those of you who are lost. How loving and kind He has been. For over and over and over again, He has let you hear the gospel of salvation. And even at this moment, mercy is given to you as your portion. You have not been cut off suddenly, as multitudes of damned souls have been. Even at this moment, their cries, their shrieks, their screams, their gnashing of teeth, their grinding of their teeth can be heard in that horrible place of torment. But you, my friend, are yet in the land of hope, in the land of the living, and now under the public means of grace that under God can save your soul. Oh, that today the goodness of God would lead you to repentance and to faith. Oh, that His loving care and patience would cause you to love Christ today, to believe on Him, to call on Him, to save you. Because Christ is worthy of your love. He is worthy of my love. For He is the altogether lovely One. He is the One who gives the offer of His salvation and His mercy for sinners. Will you not then choose Christ to be the love of your heart and your life? Will you not love Him above and beyond all others as the chief object of your affection? Will you not then give yourself to Christ to be His now and to be His forever? He is worthy of your love. He's worthy of my love. And yet, not everyone loves Christ. What a sad reality. Well, not loving Christ is really failing to fulfill the great purpose for being made a human being. For being given the powers of reason and knowledge and the ability to love. God has made you much higher than the beasts that perish. And yet will you remain like multitudes of senseless human beings who love not Christ, who do not seek Him, who do not care for Him. They don't care that He's the Savior of sinners. And to do so makes a man no better than the beasts which perish. In fact, to do so makes a lost sinner worse than the beasts which perish. For those beasts were never given such a place or such a privilege as life everlasting. For such unloving and ungrateful sinners, those who do not love Christ will forever perish. Not loving Christ is not only a failure to realize the very purpose for which we are created, but not loving Christ is a rejection of the great work that He has done. Christ came into the world to suffer, to sweat, to bleed, and to die for poor, needy sinners. He bore our punishment. He endured the wrath of God. He satisfied the law and all of divine justice in order to reconcile us to God. So refusing to love Christ is not only rejecting His great work, but also a repudiation of God's way of saving sinners. Don't think for a moment that Christ was weary in eternity past in His Father's loving bosom. Don't think that He preferred to subject His deity to be veiled in the rags of human nature, or that He chose to suffer scourgings because He preferred such shame. God forbid. All of this was for the most noble end of saving sinners. It was all of love. And to reject such love is just like those people who spat in the face of Jesus. Do you see that? Isn't it a repulsive thing to think of the God-man having lowly sinners to spit upon Him? And yet rejecting such love is no better than spitting in Jesus' face. Not loving Christ is to oppose all the work of the Holy Spirit, who illuminates our minds with the Scriptures, who reveals Christ to us as the perfect Savior, as the only mediator. The Spirit strives with us. He woos us. He works to persuade us to embrace Christ and receive of His fullness. And not loving Christ is opposing the Holy Spirit in all of His divine operations. What an awful thing not to love Jesus Christ. Not loving Christ is to fearfully oppose the wisdom of God in devising so great salvation, such a complete and full salvation as He has planned and devised. Not loving Christ is ingratitude for the kind of patience that God has toward us in not cutting us immediately off because of our sin. Many years the Lord has waited patiently without pouring out His wrath upon your ungodly conversation. But beware, lest that patience be soon exhausted. Not loving Christ is despising Him. Jesus said as much. He said, no man can serve two masters. He will hold to the one and despise the other. Isaiah said of Christ, He is despised and rejected of men. Despising is counting someone worth nothing. Who Jesus is and what He has done is worth nothing to the sinners who do not avail themselves of His salvation and of His mediation. It is a despising of Christ. But it's even worse. Not loving Christ is actually hating Him. Oh, what a repulsive thought that is. But Jesus said in Matthew 6:24 that men would either love Him or hate Him. John 15:25, He said, they hated Me without cause. In Luke 19:14, those who hate Him refuse Him as their King, and they will not have Him to reign over them. And yet He reigns just as truly today over us as He reigned over Pharaoh in Moses' day. He could crush Pharaoh or us as easily as we crush tiny insects. He crushed Pharaoh at the Red Sea. And I warn you, He will crush you unless you love Him for who He is and for what He has done. Well, finally, not only is Christ worthy of all our love and the love of all of us, people do not love Christ, but failure to love Christ brings the most hideous curse. Verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Anathema is such a dreadful curse, like that which made Belshazzar's knees to knock together. It's dying the death everlastingly and intolerably. This anathema is a total curse on body and soul, wherein the Spirit of God leaves a sinner without holiness, without love, without Christ forever. This anathema is the curse without any ingredient of blessing to relieve its bitterness. It's sorrow without joy. It's darkness without light. It's pain without ease. It's misery without mercy. This is the wine of the wrath of God poured out without mixture. Revelation 14:10. This anathema curse is a public and open curse before all the world, even before all the universe. It will be viewed and known by all. The blessed angels, the evil demons, the holy saints, and lost sinners will all hear when from that throne of God triune, Christ Jesus pronounces the terrible curse. This anathema is consignment to the flames. It is torment so grievous and so extreme that the sinner will be forever forced to confess, I am accursed indeed. I cannot hide as I lie in unquenchable fire. I will not be consumed, but will be forever tossing and turning in these excruciating flames because I would not love Christ. Anathema is final, because Maranatha means the Lord cometh. When the Lord comes, that will be it. While Christ tarries, there's some hope. You may have been out of Christ last Lord's Day and in a miserable condition then. But this day, you could be translated by faith into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But when Christ comes, your day of hope and grace will be over. Christ's last act on earth was to bless His disciples. It was an act of love in Luke 24:50. We read that before He ascended up, He blessed them. But when He, Maranatha, when He comes again, His acts will be wrath and vengeance and justice upon those who do not love Him. Anathema will be without any appeal to a higher judge, because the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. John 5:22. From the lips of Christ, all judgment shall be given. Jesus Christ, the Lord, shall speak those awful words of Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Anathema is such a horrible curse. When Christ comes, that the sinner must forever suffer, cannot die to escape it, cannot shake it off. It is worse than never to have been. It is worse than being annihilated. For that cannot happen. My dear friends, dare any of you not love Christ? It is your ruin. Dare any of you spend your life doing anything less than loving Christ? Dare any of you who do not love Christ to spend your life doing anything else but learning to love Him, learning to know Him, and then actually loving Him? Dare any of us live without loving Christ? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Our Lord cometh. Let us pray together. Oh God, we are so thankful for those words of love. Oh, what a precious thing it is to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, the God-man, in the Scriptures, pleading with sinners, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. O Lord, we thank Thee for every sweet invitation. We thank Thee for every sweet word of love. Lord, we pray that Thou will cause us to treasure them up, not only in our memories, but in our very heart, in our affections, to be taken up with Thee, to love Thee in return for so great salvation. Lord, cause everyone here to know the mighty reality of God's salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.